In the name of Jesus, amen. On this Christmas Eve, now through his Son doth shine the Father's grace divine. Death was reigning over us through sin and vanity, till he opened for us a bright eternity. May we praise him there. May we praise him there. You all know the Christmas gospel. The decree has gone out. The great Caesar has spoken. All must be counted. All must register. All must be taxed. All must go home. So, as you know, Joseph and Mary leave their home in Nazareth and they journey to a little town called Bethlehem. After all, Joseph was of the house and lineage of King David. In a lot of ways, Christmas is about going home on a number of levels. But on a much deeper level, on a theological level, Christmas is about receiving a home in an otherwise homeless world. Christmas will often bring thoughts about home and feelings about home. Going home can be quite hard for people, and at the same time, it can also be quite joyful, where everything is calm and everything is bright and lighthearted and filled with laughter. But it would seem as we get older and as these days pass, many go home only to navigate various treacherous situations, difficult family dynamics, or just simply to survive Christmas dinner. And as the merry memories are mingled with the present-day realities, we know that it wasn't always that way. I don't know about you, but as a child, I remember stringing lights with my dad on the Christmas tree and baking cookies with my mom and donning ugly sweaters for the family Christmas photo and the new toys and awkwardly laughing at the new underwear, whether it was Batman or Superman or He-Man for Christmas. We remember that time when it was enchanted with the wonder of the season and the gathering of the family and the singing of carols and hymns like we are doing tonight and the flickering candles that will enlighten this darkened church as we have listened to and we will sing of the holy birth of Jesus that rescues us from sin and death. And we remember Christmas. Remember it before the estrangement, maybe before the divorce, before the empty nest, or before Grandpa got moved to the nursing home, or before Grandma started to forget things, or before a loved one died, before our home was irretrievably broken. Like Adam and Eve, and all those after them, we long to go home to be children again who are restored to that innocence that we were created in, that image of God that we displayed by the one who created us and gave it to us. Now, when you actually look at the birth account of Jesus, you'll recognize that few were actually home that first Christmas. As I noted, Mary and Joseph had left home for Bethlehem. In that little town, no room was found for them. But yet Mary was to give birth. The fullness of time had come. And babies were to be born at home, at least at that time. But not Jesus. There was no uncle or aunt's home to rush to, or not even a fox's hole or a bird's nest. Jesus, God in the flesh, was born in a stable, surrounded by ox and ass, beasts of the field that are mindlessly chewing hay that would then be also perhaaps used to soften his wooden crib. No relatives to rejoice. No comforting supplies to comfort or calm mother and son. No fire to keep him warm. Certainly no electricity. Just Mary and Joseph and the Son of God lying in mean estate. The thought boggles the mind. Shepherds weren't home either. As you know, they were out in keeping watch over their flock by night. Also, the angels, they weren't home either. They left their heavenly home to sing the glorious good news to these shepherds who were out in their fields at night. And the first word out of the angel's mouth, out of most angels' mouths in the Bible, was, "Fear not." Fitting, don't you think? Fear not. Think about that word. For when are you most afraid, or when have you been most afraid? Perhaps when you are not at home. Because home is supposed to be a place where you are safe, a place where all is well, where people love each other and care about each other and bear each other's burdens, and they can find rest from all the burdens of the world. But you know, and I know, that the world is so backwards and it is so messed up. Not just that there's no room at the inn, but many are even afraid to go to the inn. And not because it's not safe, though for some this is the case, that home is not safe, but often is because love has become frozen, because home no longer is a place of peace or rest. Whether it is that marriages are tense or families are broken, and yet still the tree is up and the presents are there and the cookies are still on the cooling rack, but yet mom and dad rarely get along anymore, and siblings fight and argue and say things that they regret. And all are too proud to apologize for wrongdoing as the warmth of the season barely gets above freezing. Sin, vanity, it wedges itself between all of us. Even on Christmas, we've done it and it's been done to us. Forgiveness and reconciliation are words that we long to hear and to receive, but never ask for, nor do we give them. Sin looms large in our family gatherings. Whether it's nicely concealed in the background through gritted teeth and angered whispering, or it's just plain yelling and screaming. No home is safe from sin and the mean estate of this world's fallenness. And strangely, and most comforting, is that where sin and sorrow grow, all the much greater do we recognize and see and receive the birth and the growth of the Holy Child who is our forgiveness and our peace. Behold, tonight in a little town called West Bend, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people, that unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The Lord Jesus has not abandoned you or me in our brokenness, in our familial strife, or even in our homelessness, however we might define that. He has not despised us in our recklessness of sin. Rather than avoid us, rather than run away from us or not come down to us, He has actually become one of us. He has entered our very flesh, our blood coursing through His veins, to be for us the only way back home, the only way back to paradise, an innocence that is restored by His life, death, and resurrection. Salvation is not floating up in the clouds. It's not within us. It's not in our hearts. And it's not in our hands. No, salvation is born. Love is born. Mercy is born. Peace is born. All of it is born in the Holy Child Jesus. And it is given in the Holy Child Jesus. He is not with us. That is, He is not God Emmanuel with us in some sentimental way or for our psychological comfort. No, He's with us. He's Emmanuel in the sense that He is wrapped in our flesh and in our blood. He is, as we say, our brother. And so the glad tidings are this, that His birth among us, His dwelling with us and for us, stills our anxious hearts, heals wounded souls and grieving bodies, and gives the gift of forgiveness, reconciliation, that we all so greatly need. And it was there in that crude stable that God was enfleshed by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost and by the flesh of the Virgin Mary. And there in Bethlehem, literally the house of bread, laid the eternal bread of life. There is the one who lies in lowly estate without stain or blemish or sin, born outside of His home to bring us a lasting and eternal home. Really, the wonder, the great and mighty wonder of this night cannot be comprehended. It can only be received because questions, I don't know about you, questions flood my mind. For how could this be, as Mary asked when it came to the birth, or it came to the birth of Jesus and the announcement, the Annunciation, I should say. But also, really, how can this be for me, unto you, or how can this be for me, a fallen, miserable sinner from a broken home of which I hold a sledgehammer? How can that be? It is only by grace, which is why it is good tidings and great news for you and me. For without this preached word, without hearing this word, not just tonight, but day in and day out, week in and week out, we would carry on like it never happened before, or like the world does every day. We would look upon this child and we would only see our reflection. Or maybe we would see a cute and adorable moment of a manger scene, a moment in time, and that's it. Not that this child, this baby, is the image of the invisible God now made flesh, born to rescue us and to redeem all time and all people and restore eternity to all the earth. And this child will do this for us in a most strange and foolish way. He will hang on a cross. He who is wrapped in swaddling cloths will be wrapped in a pall, anointed with the spice of myrrh brought by wise men later far from the east. He who was born where ox and ass are feeding will die where mangy dogs roam and nails and spear pierce men to crosses for crimes that they commit. But his cross will be borne for me and for you, not for him, for me and for you. And this little child and this God-man shall lead you home through sin, death, and the wiles of the devil. This unblemished lamb conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, will take away your sin. Because going home to heaven bears a very heavy load, bears a heavy tax, bears that which we cannot pay. But this infant holy yet infant lowly bears the full payment of this tax, bears the full burden of this weight. And so the sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we pay no taxes, if you will. We are rather registered and counted, not in this world, but rather in the kingdom that has come in this child Jesus and is coming in the new heavens and the new earth. In short, Jesus is home. For where Jesus is, there is your home. Where his gifts are, there is your home. There is your forgiveness. There is peace. Where fear is all gone, all that's left is peace and rest. That is peace with God and rest with God, but also peace with God, peace with your neighbor and rest with your neighbor. So Christmas is about going home, and it's about coming to Jesus. And that's why the shepherds, if you ever wondered, that's why the shepherds make haste to go to Bethlehem to see this thing, this incarnation that has happened. For behold, the Word has now been made flesh. The eternal Word has now been made flesh. And that is why we gather tonight. That is why we will gather tomorrow. That is why we gather every Lord's Day. That is why we gather as a family, though we are often broken or hurting, though we are always sinful creatures on this earth, to worship the Christ child. For the mingling of the joys of yesteryears and the fears of the coming years are met in this child tonight. You come to worship the Christ child, not to offer him gifts, for he is no Caesar. He desires nothing from you, but rather to give you everything. So I would encourage you to leave your burdens in the field with the shepherds, to set aside your grudges, to bury your bitterness in this Jesus who comes for you and births anew a safe and abiding, peaceful home. For here in the stable, and one day on the tree, he is and will be and always is kind and gentle and forgiving all of us, for we know not what we do, knowing that there is no fear here with him. He gives angels to sing and to welcome you, the lowliest of men and women and children. And so all is calm and all is bright, all is safe in this home, this Christmas Eve night. And one last thing, please remember, no one is forced to return home, to come to Jesus. But do know that everyone is invited, and this good news is for all. That you ought to fear not, that you ought to receive this good news, and you ought to be reconciled to God's reconciled to God through Mary's infant son, that you are to draw near to him in faith. So will you be home for Christmas, or will unbelief harden your heart? Will you kneel at the manger, the house of bread, or will your heart be full of nostalgia or the past sorrows pushing away the future promises of a joyful reunion? Will you ponder the grace of God for you this holy night, or will you think more about the presents that are underneath the tree? Will you come home and then leave again right away, or will you take your place at his table? Beloved, you are to come home to Jesus and then go home to your families, to be reconciled to God and then to be reconciled to one another. For you are to let the love of Christ dwell in you richly this Christmas Eve, knowing that this Word has become flesh and dwells among you, for you and for all, this night and all the days of your earthly life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.